I'd like to read a scripture from the Bible in the book of the Acts, in chapter 4. It's on page, in my Bible, it's on page 1306. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And salvation is in none other, for neither is there another name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. And one further verse in the Epistle to the Philippians, in chapter 2, and that is on page 1419. Philippians chapter 2, and we read from verse 9. Wherefore, also God highly exalted him, and granted him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Some of us earlier today, we sang a hymn. I'll just read it to you, just one verse only that particularly struck me. From eternal ages onward, thou art God, supreme thy throne. Thy delight in showing mercy, making grace abounding known. Ever just are all thy dealings, perfect wisdom marks thy way, righteousness attends upon thee, truth before thee holdeth sway. That's the God I know, the God who's supreme, who delights in showing mercy and making grace abounding known. And that's why I can stand here tonight and read to you from the Bible. Because mercy has been shown to me. And as I read the Bible, I find in it so much. I find it tells me of a creator God. God who created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them, including you and me. I find too in the Bible, it tells me that I'm a sinner. And that I need a saviour. Mm-hmm. It tells me too in the Bible that there is a saviour. Only name given under heaven amongst men by which we must be saved. That's you and me, friend, tonight. God desires that you should be saved. He's a merciful God. He's not at a distance. He's drawn near to you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. One who I would seek to speak to you about. One who came here, as the Bible tells us, born in Bethlehem's manger, grew up, and at the age of about 30, started preaching and speaking to persons and meeting them and bringing in healing and help and understanding in their lives. The same one, dear friend, is available to you tonight. He's not here on the earth. He's in heaven. He's a living, a real living man. But he is also God. Can't divorce the two. It's the most wonderful thing. As one wrote in a hymn, it's the wonder of the incarnation that God came here as a man, drew near to you and me, in the person of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came here, friend, because of your need and of my need. He came here because sin had come into this world. It came in through the disobedience of Adam and Eve at the very outset of the creation of this world. But God had an answer to that. I speak reverently and carefully, but God was not surprised that sin came in. But he had an answer for it. in his beloved Son. It may have taken many years before the Lord Jesus came here as a babe and grew up. But he came here and showed the love of God to men. He brought in healing. He gave sight to the blind, healing to the lame, hearing to the deaf. And on occasions he raised the dead. How wonderful was his power that was displayed in his walk here. And he went to Calvary's cross. And you know, you can never get far away from the cross if you're a believer. Mm-hmm. If you're not a believer, friend, that's where you need to start. Every one of us has a burden of sin, which, using the illustration that Bunyan does in Pilgrim's Progress, as a boy, my father had a copy of Pilgrim's Progress. It was a lovely illustrated one. My son's got it now, I haven't. There's a pen and ink drawing in it of Christian going up towards the cross. And on his back he's got a large knapsack, I call it that. It was a burden. And as he gets to the cross, that burden falls off. The hymn writer puts it beautifully. It was there my Saviour suffered. And my sins were settled there. My Saviour went that way, my friend. He bore the judgment of God in relation to sin. Something which you and I could never ever do as a sinner. But you think of the one who went that way. He was here perfect. Jesus was perfect in every way. He was here as a man, yes, a physical, literal man, sin apart. In him, the Bible tells me, sin was not. What a Saviour. And he's able to meet your need tonight, friend. And the most urgent need that you have is that your sins might be forgiven. If you come in repentance and put your faith in the Saviour, he delights, as we read in that hymn, making grace abounding known. You know, grace is a gift of God. He delights to give grace. You're saved by grace, it says, if you read it in Ephesians. You're saved by grace. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. That's the God I know. And so, that's why I read in Acts. Peter was preaching here. And he says, salvation is in none other. There is only one way of salvation, my friend, and that's through putting your faith and trust in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that work was at Calvary's cross. He went that way. One who was without sin, perfect before God, righteous, holy, sinless, undefiled. He went that way according to the will of God. Scripture speaks of it as the determinate counsel and will of God. He went that way. Didn't that go that way for himself, my friend? He went that way for you. Without that sacrifice at Calvary, I couldn't stand here tonight and tell you that you could be saved. I'd have no basis for it. But I know that on the basis of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, where he shed his precious blood, and those words that were said, it is finished. The completeness of the work of Jesus, friend, is available to you tonight, if never before. That you might have peace in your soul and a knowledge of the blessed God in whose hand your breath is. If you read in Daniel, very interesting book, you know, to read. There was a case there of a king who held a feast for all his nobles, hundreds of them. And at the same time, the city that he was in was being besieged. And he was reminded by Daniel, who came to answer a call because there was writing on the wall, "Meeni, meeni, tekel, you fasting. Thou weighed in the balances and found wanting." It says that, that king, his knees shook. He read that writing. And that's where you hear the expression, the writing's on the wall. It's there, clearly to be seen. Daniel has to say to him, "The God in whose hand thy breath is, thou hast not followed." No. The very breath that we have is given to us by God. Mm-hmm. Don't underestimate it. It's only in his wondrous grace that he permits it to continue. He could withdraw it at any moment. But we're not here to speak of that exactly, but just to draw your attention to the one in whose hand you are. And so, the Lord Jesus at Calvary, he suffered the ignominy and shame and the... You read it in the Gospels of all that they did to my Saviour, one who you can say simply the most unjust trial that was ever conducted in this world, the most erroneous judgment that was ever passed. Those cries of "Crucify him" came out from persons who needed the Saviour as much as you and I do. But he went that way, my friend, in love for you. What a Saviour. So you can understand the words here, that salvation is in none other. He went that way that you might come to know the love of God, that you might to know what it is to have your sins washed away in his precious blood. That blood was shed at Calvary. Yes, I can rejoice in that. But my sins have been washed away because of what the Saviour has done. And I can count myself amongst those who would say that their sin is saved by grace. How wonderful. If you're still filling in your sins, there's a wonderful chance, a wonderful opportunity tonight, my friend, to come to the Saviour. Neither is there another name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. Must be saved. I just read in Philippians, just to bring in the name of Jesus. God has highly exalted him and granted him a name. And it tells us why he has granted him a name and highly exalted him. Because he took his place in the likeness of men, and being found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. What a Saviour, my friend. And I commend him to you tonight as the one in whom salvation is available. It's to whosoever will. Will you come to the Saviour tonight, my friend? Come to know him as your Saviour? If never before, the God that delights in showing mercy, making grace abounding known. You can come to know that abounding mercy tonight. There was a man, you know, many, many years ago. You'll find it in the scripture. I often speak of it in the gospel. You find it in Luke's gospel, chapter 18. He was blind. And he lived outside the city of Jericho. And the Lord Jesus was passing that way. He was going up to Jerusalem. There to die. It was only a few short time before the time of the crucifixion, if you look at the details of the scripture. And although the man couldn't see, he heard a crowd going by and he inquired. And he was told it was Jesus passing by. And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Yes. And he was answered. Yes. First time, people said, "No, be quiet. You know, we don't want to hear you." And he persisted. "Friend, don't give up. Jesus is listening to you." Mm-hmm. And I think it's wonderful. It's lovely. You know, it says Jesus stood still. He stood still for that one man. And he will stand still for you tonight, my friend. Mm-hmm. Because he's so available. He's available to each one. He's available to you individually. You have to come to him yourself in all your need. Don't be afraid. Just come and tell him how much you need him. Mm-hmm. You're a sinner, yes. You can say that you to the Saviour that he died for you. He went that way for you. If you were the only sinner in the whole world, Jesus would have gone that way for you. Only name given under heaven by which we must be saved. My friend, I commend the Saviour to you tonight, the one who has done everything that was possible. But the beauty of it is that not only did he die and give himself for our sins, bore our sins in his body on the tree, Peter tells us in his epistle. He went into the grave. 3 days and 3 nights. He was raised the third day. Oh, my friend, I can tell you of one who is alive. The gospel is so wonderful because it relates to someone who has been into death but is alive forevermore. What a saviour. Yes, and he's up in heaven. Yes, he's there. I know he's there. He's coming again. Some of us were reading about it the other day in Thessalonians. He's coming again. Coming to take those who believe in him. You believe in the Saviour, my friend? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Because he's coming again. He's coming for everyone who's put their faith and trust in him. Mm-hmm. With archangel's voice and shout of God, he's coming himself. And I always find that very lovely. The Saviour who's died for me is coming again himself. Mm. He's going to take you to himself. That voice, perhaps I shouldn't go into it in direct detail, but I think it's lovely that everyone is going to hear that voice, whether they've died in Christ, in Jesus, as saved, or they're alive today, and they're going to be all caught up into the air to meet the Saviour in the air. Wonderful prospect the believer has. It's all because of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary's cross and shed his precious blood, gave his life for you, my friend, that you might go free. Those words, you can read them in the scriptures. One of the ones, other ones that's recorded is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Mm-hmm. What a heart of forgiveness the Saviour has. We're often very hard-hearted, you know, not always ready to forgive, but God is always ready to forgive. No one that's ever come to the Saviour has been not received. Everyone is accepted because of the work of Jesus. Mm. Put your faith and trust in the Saviour tonight, my friend, and come to know the one whose name is given, the name under heaven by which we must be saved. I commend the Saviour to you. He's done everything for you. It's your responsibility, I might say, to come to him in all your need. Put your faith and trust in the Saviour tonight. May it be so, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.